This episode of WGW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And if you're looking to plan a trip to Walt Disney World, you're saying to yourself, man, I would love to get back down to Walt Disney World and have me a trip because it's warm down there. There's lots of great attractions, family memories he made. I need to get back down there. Well, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you plan that perfect trip with an emphasis on perfect, because you know, when you go down there, this aren't just, you're spending a lot of money. This isn't just going down to, you know, the beach. This is a real invested vacation where you're not only looking to have a great time, you're looking to have one of the best times of your life, where you guys will be talking about these kinds of trips for years and years to come. And the agency you work with, MEI and Mouse Travel, are first of all aware of this, and second of all, they're going to be making sure that they're doing everything they can to make sure you have a wonderful, easy, awesome trip. You really got to check it out right now. MouseFanTravel.com. We're also being sponsored by All-Star Vacation Homes. And if you're down in Walt Disney World and you need a place to sleep, that's more than just a bed. All-Star Vacation Homes, I'm telling you, is the place. Man, they've got so many great amenities. I mean, full-sized kitchens, movie rooms, game rooms, bedrooms for everybody. It really makes a difference when you've got space when you're staying at Walt Disney World and you're not crammed in some small little hotel room. No, no, no. All-Star Vacation Homes has so many great amenities. Really, you got to go to their website and check out everything they have to offer right now. AllStarVacationHomes.com. And we're also being sponsored by TouringPlans.com. And look, I love Walt Disney World. I love all my favorite attractions. I hate waiting in line in Walt Disney World. I think you do as well. But there is a solution to not having to wait in those really long lines. TouringPlans.com. It's really just that simple. You go to TouringPlans.com. Use our special discount code ZUZU2015, ZUZU2015, and you will save a bundle on a TouringPlans.com subscription. Then you get into the park, and bam, you've got the tools that you need to get around those long lines, and you'll see it. It really is that simple. You're going to get in there and be like, wow, we didn't wait in line. I don't know what happened. We walked in the park, and it's 5 o'clock. I don't know what happened. It's just that simple. TouringPlans.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, March 11th, 2015, and this is episode 1451 of WDW Today. I am Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com and also from RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. I'm being joined by the Mikes today. First, starting off with Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Commissioner Mike.
Reporting for duty, sir.
At ease, soldier.
Yes, sir.
Also joining us on today's show, Mike Scopa, a co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. What's your Mike?
Sir, thanks, pork chop, but it's probably too late. Sir.
Is that from Reunion?
No.
Oh.
Pork chop.
I thought it was like Big D at the...
Big D!
Big D. Can you say it again, Mike?
Thanks, pork chop, but it's probably too late.
Oh, that's Doug Live.
Very good. That's why I put pork chop in there, because otherwise you would have never gotten it. Never.
Like Live at the studios, man. That's a long time ago now. I mean, it really is. This is like...
15 years?
Yeah.
Was that
after? No, it's more. It's in the 90s, early 90s.
Was that before or after Bear in the Big Blue House?
Different place.
Oh.
It was before, but Doug Live is where American Idol experience was.
Oh, that's right. After Superstar Television. That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
You're right.
Bear in the Big Blue House has been...
Memories.
Ah, yes, good times. All right, well, on today's show, we're going to be playing a little bit of Odds Makers. That's right, where we rip off a very well-known segment from an even more well-known television show. Basically, I'm going to give Mike and Mike here a question and ask them to give me the odds of whatever it is I ask them. It's, of course, based on Walt Disney World. So let's start off with Scopa here. And, Mike, Disney will be testing a new direct bus service between Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach when Blizzard Beach reopens from its annual refurbishment on March 15th, 2015. What are the odds you will be water park hopping on your next trip?
Zero. I'm not really into the water parks, but I think that's a good thing. I think that anytime you have dedicated bus routes, I think it's very good for the guests. I've been there, done that, seen them both, and not really interested in doing the water park. So my next trip, which I'm not sure exactly when that's going to be, probably not going to do it, but I do think it's a good thing.
Noel?
I'm with Mike Zero. I haven't been to one of the water parks, and I can't even tell you how long. Actually, I can't even tell you how long it's been since I've been in a pool.
I can't tell you how long it's been since I took a shower.
Well, I won't go that far.
But I would think, actually, here's the thing. I was thinking about this. Originally, I was like, who cares? Like, who really wants a water park off that badly? But, you know, in my experience at the water parks, the first year I moved to Florida, I got the premium annual pass, which I later decided was a mistake because I never used the benefits of it. But that being said, we went to the water parks and, we would go to the water park. It doesn't matter which one. And you would go there and we'd get there at park opening and we'd run through all the water slides like once. And most of the slides you can really only do once. The exception are like the big ones like the Crush and Gusher and like the wave pool. But, most of the majority, the bulk of the slides are like you ride them once, you feel good about it, and you really don't feel all that compelled to redo them. They're kind of not that memorable, so to speak. And you can usually get one water park done if you get there at park opening in 2 hours at the most. And then you're really just, you're either going to the lazy river or you're going to the wave pool and kind of just hanging out. So if I were to do this, I could see where the benefit, because now I could go, run through Typhoon, or I'd run through Blizzard Beach first and then end up back in Typhoon Lagoon so that I could take advantage of the wave pool for the afternoon. I guess it would maximize more time, but I think I agree with you guys that I just can't see, this is not going to get me to be like, yeah, I got to get the water park option on my next trip down there. But it's nice to know that it would exist theoretically if that test holds up as well,
So are they offering a Hopper pass?
I think – that's a good question. Actually, I don't even know if under the old pass could you – with a premium annual pass, obviously, we could have gone back and forth.
Right.
But I don't know if one water park admission – I think a water park admission gets you into either because they're just water park admissions. You don't buy, Blizzard Beach or –
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Although then again, you really don't buy. You don't buy Magic. You don't. Well, you do buy Magic Kingdom. You don't buy Epcot, right? You buy a park day, and you can't park hop unless you have the park hopper option.
They will be offering a new park hopper capability sometime in the spring. I thought.
Yeah. Mm. It could be. Yeah. So. Oh yeah, a new park. Yeah, that's right. The water parks will be offering a new park hopper capability between the water parks. All right. So there you go. Yeah. That's also a problem.
Yeah.
Save your emails into angry tweets.
Yeah, really.
Next, we have an email. Next one, we'll start with Mike Newell here. The Magic Kingdom's Aloha Island Sunshine Tree Terrace, which we've all come to love in various regards, will be switching locations late next week. What are the odds this is a change for the best?
Well, during reunion, I'm going to say the odds are 90% in the best, and I'll tell you why. Because during reunion, while everyone was waiting online for their pineapple treat, myself and one Autumn Marinelli decided to go to the other side over to the Sunshine Tree Terrace, and nobody was there in line. So we were over there, and even though I didn't get Dole Whip while I was there, I got the root beer float. But I think that's a better idea. It's bigger. It can accommodate more people, obviously, and it will probably hopefully reduce the bottlenecking that occurs over at that area of the park.
Scopo, what do you think? This is one of your most beloved spots on Earth.
I'm with Mike on this. It's at least 90% because it takes that bottleneck out of the major thoroughfare when you're going by Aloha Isle and Swiss Family Robinson. Takes it out, puts it in an area where people can congregate. Also takes you away from the smoking area, which is good.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that it's probably a good thing. It'll be interesting to see how many people get confused when they first get into the Magic Kingdom, those who aren't aware of this, and they get really upset, and where is my Dole Whip and all that stuff. So I think it's a good thing. I think it's at least a 90% good thing.
I've got two observations about this. Number one, I don't think most people don't actually notice or care. It's just the reason why Aloha Isle is so much more visited, has lines, and Sunshine Tree Terrace doesn't is because of the location. Sunshine Tree Terrace is hidden. It's in the back corner.
Yes.
You really have – it's not a very frequently passed area. I mean really unless you're coming out of the Enchanted Tiki Room, you really don't go there. I mean most people just go from Pirates – past the Swiss Family Tree House, like Mike was talking about earlier, over to the Hub or vice versa. No one really takes that turn over there. And I mean, it's kind of good for the guy who's in charge of the sales, I guess, for Sunshine Tree Terrace, because now your sales are going to go through the roof because you've got prime real estate here. And I think they both serve ice cream. No one really cares. I don't think people are like, oh, halt. This is not the typical ice cream place we've become to know.
Right. I do think it's important for them to have unique offerings, though.
Yeah, I don't think
they both should offer the same.
I could agree with that. I'm just saying that I don't think anyone's going to really know. I think you're going to see a reverse of fortunes here based purely on location. The other question I have also, kind of more of a purist standpoint, does it bother you guys that they're changing spots? I mean, this is like, what if like Dumbo and Aladdin's Magic Carpet Ride swapped spot? They just, swapped because they're like, you know what? Dumbo is really busy. We're going to move it to Adventureland. And we're going to move, Aladdin's Magic Carpet Ride because no one goes there over to Fantasyland. Is that the same thing?
As long as it's a win-win kind of a situation, I think it's a win-win for Disney because they eliminate traffic problems. I think it's a win-win for the guests because, I think it's a lot easier. The only problem is that they're going to be – at Aloha Isle, there are seating areas. But yes. At Sunshine Terrace, there aren't. I mean, there's a few tables, I think, but – that might be an issue.
I mark my words. I bet you it'll be exactly the same traffic pattern, just different names, but we'll see. Next up, back to Scopa here. Disney has announced finally announced, I think we've known about this for a while, but Disney has finally officially announced that there's a third track coming to Toy Story Midway Mania at Disney's Hollywood Studios. What are the odds this will bring the wait times down to what we would consider normal?
I'm going to say 50%, Matt, because it's one of those things where no matter how – it's a very popular attraction. The fast passes used to run out by 10:30, 11 o'clock. And so you're adding a third track. So that may improve the fast pass situation. But in due time, I think you might almost get back to where you are today. So I'm going to say 50% because I'm not really sure. It's half and half as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with Mike. I think that if the option of a third track is available, that people that are less likely to go because it's been so crowded are more likely to go now that there's another option. There's a chance of getting on the line. So whereas, if I went past and I saw a 90-minute wait, I wouldn't go. But now if I saw a 90-minute wait and said, well, there's three lines, I might have a better chance of getting on, I may wait in that line.
Okay. I mean, I think it's pretty low. I think it'll help, but, maybe this will help with like super peak time. I mean, I don't think this will be back down to like, a max wait time of, 40 minutes or so on any given day. I think it's still going to be, you're still going to see a significant wait, but it will help. There's no question about it, but I think two things are contributing. One, it's just a very popular attraction in and of itself. And if Len was here too, he would probably point out that there's so many closures and things changing these days that there's such lessened capacity at the park that any change that we'd see from this area would be a while before we'd really see the full effect, because until you get full capacity of, all these new rumored attractions that are coming online, that, you need to see all that before you can really start to evaluate how effective the new track is. But
yeah, and that's not even going to open up till late next year, so we won't be able to really pass judgment on this for a while.
Yeah, but I think it's safe to say we're not going to be walking on Toy Story Midway Mania at 2 o'clock in the afternoon anytime soon.
No.
All right, Mr. Newell, Disney is introducing photo identification for guests that frequently fail biometric authentication at the turnstiles. You know who you people are. A new photo ID system will make entering the park more convenient for guests who experience issues with the fingerprint readers at the turnstiles. What are the odds you will be one of these people that have to use this new system?
Very low. I never have a problem with the biometrics. I don't know why, but it's just maybe I clean my hands. I don't know. Never had a problem, so I've always been able to get in. So I doubt I'm going to even need to use it.
Scopa?
Yeah, I don't think – I very rarely have any problems. I think this goes way back to when they used to have annual passes with your photo on it. So – my guess is that it's just a backup, and it speaks to the biometric system and how flawed it is. So I don't think I'll be one of those people, but you never know.
Yeah, so far I've been Mr. Example. I walk through and then I turn around and say, that's how you do it. I don't really do that. I'm not that much.
And then people throw stuff at you.
Yeah, exactly. Boom. All right. This is our last odds maker here, but honestly, I think this is the most important one out there. So, guys, I want you to really think about this deep and hard. This is Scopa's. Here you go. At Champion Stadium at ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex, there is a brand new offering at the restaurant here, the Triple Play.
Oh, boy.
A 2-pound sandwich, featuring three types of meat, shredded pork, ham, and beef. The hefty sandwich is then topped with peppers, onions, shredded cheddar cheese, and potato strings. What are the chances, this is a two-parter, Mike, what are the chances, A, you are going to try this, and what are the chances, B, you will finish this?
A, zero, B, zero. You know, the thing is that they make these heart attack offerings, and I'm sure there will be people who will try it. But you know what I really would like to see them have as an offering, Matt? A nice Cuban sandwich. These conglomerations, whatever they make, concoctions with sometimes, you know, I'm not sure if you should mix those meats together. I think, you know, it's against the laws of nature sometimes. So I'm not interested at all.
Don't cross the streams and don't cross the meats.
Exactly.
All right, Newell.
Yeah, I'm with Mike. I mean, it's funny that they're putting this kind of sandwich in a place where fitness is, you know, the norm over there.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it sound good to you?
No. No, it doesn't sound good. I mean, who's going to go there in the middle of July and eat a sandwich like that?
Someone who's really, really hungry.
Kitchen sink of sandwiches.
Yep.
Yeah, but at least kitchen sink is, you know, cools you
down. How about
down.
This? They also are adding a Fiesta Dog, a foot-long all-beef hot dog covered with nacho cheese, chili, shredded cheese, and topped with lettuce, tomato, and nacho chips.
Well, that's different. Let's get that. I'll have that. I just don't see – I mean I only go there once a year when I'm down for spring training. So I don't see myself going over there just for this – any other time of the year. So,
well, you're only going to be able to – these new items will only be available for Braves home spring training games, which begin March 4th against the New York Mets.
Oh, so it goes away? Yeah, it goes away.
Just sold in the stadium?
Yep.
So it won't be sold in the – whatever that's called, the other place.
Yeah, no, it's just something available for the spring training games.
Okay.
The real question, and I don't know if the answer to this, is how much this would cost?
$12.
$12 would be a bargain, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Per meat.
That's a $20 sandwich, if not more.
I think this could be, we should do a meat over there at some point.
Get it? Meat?
The meat.
Meat.
All right. Well, Odds Makers is 100% over, but that means we still have time to answer your listener emails. We'll start with the email from Randy Small of Newfoundland, Canada. Firstly, I wanted to say thank you for doing such a great show and devoting so much time to helping us Disneyholics get a fix. We're planning a trip late August, the first week of September this summer. School doesn't start until later this year due to late Labor Day.
Yep.
My questions are, what should the crowds be like from August 30th to September 5th due to this late school start? Also, what are the odds? We'll start with there.
What are the odds? Ooh. Well, they'll probably be okay because the South always goes back early.
Yeah. Yeah, the last 2 weeks in August in general is always a slower time of the year compared to, say, the first 2 weeks.
Right.
Because, like Mike said, a lot of kids are going back to school. It seems like these days the norm is to go to school. The norm is to go to school before Labor Day. Back in my day, it was Labor Day and then you went back to school for the year. It doesn't seem like that's the case anymore.
Now, Labor Day weekend can be a little crowded.
Yeah, a little bit. It's not that bad because, again, most people are like, you know, this is like the last hurrah of summer. You're not planning, you know, a week. You already did your summer vacation.
Right, right.
But I don't think it'll be that bad, honestly. I think it's just – and Scopa, you've been down there many, many times during this last couple weeks in August.
Oh, yeah.
Value season, isn't it?
Value season, you know, begins around August 17th, and you get kids going back to school. You got football. You got soccer. You've got the college kids going back to school. So you're going to experience – probably the best crowds of the summer until the end of September. So I think September, after Labor Day, I think that's one of the prime months to go down there.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Also, Randy wants to know, what are the odds? What are the odds Disney will have a Mickey's Not So Scary before September 5th this year? Zero, because the first one is September 15th.
Yeah.
Sorry, how do you know it was the Odds Makers show?
Sorry. I did say it was over before. next email, we have an email from – who's it from? Oh, Stephen Bernhardt of Austin, Texas.
Yes.
Historically, you guys have not been kind, either Hoop-Dee-Doo Musical Review or the Yahoo! Spirit of Aloha dinner show.
Hold on. We like Yahoo. We like the –
I'm more of a Bing guy, actually.
Really?
No, I'm not. I just had to go somewhere with the joke. I've always loved Hoop-Dee-Doo, actually.
We've gone several times and we've had a great time. I've never been down on it before.
Now, we have been haters on Spirit of Aloha Dinner Show. That is correct.
The food is...
That might change when they put it indoors. They close it. We'll see.
Steve continues, during our most recent trip, during Marathon Week, and we attended Hoop-Dee-Doo and had a fantastic time. The food was very good, with the strawberry shortcake ranking among the best I've ever had. The show was a ton of fun and had something for just about everybody. During last year's Marathon Weekend, we attended the Spirit of Aloha Dinner Show. Once again, a terrific experience. The often maligned food was outstanding, particularly the pulled pork. In fact, on the way out of the show, myself and a fellow Texan and barbecue lover discussed how we wish we could create such great meat back home. The Hawaiian-themed show was entertaining despite a moderate rain shower during the second half of the show. Give it up to the fire dancer. Well, now, either experience is not cheap, but welcome to Disney. Based on my personal experience, I wouldn't hesitate to recommend either of these dinner shows for those looking for a different dinner experience and some pretty darn good food.
I tell you what, if a Texan thinks it's good, then maybe it's worth revisiting.
And I will tell you, if Len was here, he would tell you the same thing, that the Spirit of Aloha Dinner Show consistently ranks among the worst rated dinner possibilities in the unofficial guide reader results that they do.
I agree.
It's just constantly terrible.
Last time I was there, it was terrible. But I'd be willing to try it again if these guys say it was that good.
I don't want to say that it's hard to say that, you know, there's something at Disney World that everyone is going to hate. I think we can find somebody who likes something, right? I mean, it's all subjective. We're all talking about opinions here.
True.
But I think when it's as universally or as widely, I should say, slammed for being poor, I generally avoid it. And in this situation,
darn it, Hochberg, it's our job to make sure that all the bases are covered when we're giving out advice. And I'm willing to take one for the team and go to the show.
Next, we have an email from Bruce from Brooklyn.
Bruce, stay out of my building, Bruce. He keeps showing up in my office.
You might remember, you might recall, we had an email from Bruce. We had no idea what he was talking about before.
Oh, yes, Bruce.
And Bruce wrote, just to recap, I received an email from Disney talking about renovation that the Polynesian is going through. Here they are talking about DVC bungalows, and I quote, similar to Disney Cruise Line ships and the villas at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, the rooms will each have a bathroom separated into two areas, one with a shower and sink, and the other with a sink and tub shower. I hope they forgot to mention in the email, but not in the building of the bungalows. And then we said, what?
What?
That makes no sense. Still doesn't. Then he wrote, I don't think you read the subject. Look at this description. So the subject was, did they forget something? And then he wrote, the rooms will each have a bathroom separated into two areas, one with a shower and sink. Oh, I get it now. So there's a bathroom separated into two areas, one with a shower and sink and the other with a sink and tub shower. Did they forget something else in the bathroom? What else do you need to have in a bathroom?
Take a seat.
Yeah, exactly. There's no mention of the toilet. I get it now.
Well, we got how many emails and tweets saying what it was, and I think we figured it out.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. You. Thanks for your confusion letter.
Next email from Kyle in Chapin, South Carolina. Chapin. Yo, guys, the wife, two boys, and seven, and I will be heading to the world in mid-June for an 8-night stay at the Polynesian.
Woo.
We visit the world on an almost annual basis since 2006. When I am in the world, I like to indulge in foods that I normally can't find in the bustling metropolis of Columbia, South Carolina. I try to avoid the burgers, dogs, and chicken nuggets wherever possible. My wife and the boys, on the other hand, could be happy with those items for the entire stay. That being said, whenever we are in World Showcase, I usually get outvoted and we head to the American Pavilion to enjoy their fine cuisine. Ugh. When in reality, I would love to get some lamb shawarma at the Tangerine Cafe or get a platter of fish and chips and a cold Guinness from the Yorkshire County Fish Shop. My question is, fish shop? Okay. My question is, while the rest of the family waits in line for their meat on bread and fries meal, can I head to another pavilion and essentially get it to go and meet with the wife and kids wherever we may be with the other pavilion's food in tow?
Absolutely.
Is this accepted, bad form, or just plain weird?
We've all done it.
Walk around with a tray. Why not?
Right. You have to walk to another country with a tray, but other than that.
From the counter service locations, no problem at all.
Right. Now, you wouldn't do it at a sit-down dining, but.
You could, theoretically. Why couldn't you take takeout? I never tried it, but I suppose
you would take takeout and bring it to a sit-down table?
No, reverse. Like, you go to, like, you know, I don't know.
Nine Dragons and bring
Nine
it over
Dragons.
To...
Be like, yeah, can I have this to go? I mean, I guess.
I don't know if they'll do to go, but.
Yeah. But the counter service, you have no problem at all.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And a lot of people do this, in fact. I mean, most people, I think, you know, just go, you know, right around the area. But obviously, if, you know, you want to get fish and chips and the kids want the nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
Wife goes with the kids, get the nuggets. You get the fish and chips and meet in, you know, France, wherever. It doesn't matter. Actually, Morocco is a really good shop because not a lot of people go there. So.
Well, that's just it. You don't have to eat where you bought the food. I mean, if I buy chips in England, I could eat them in Canada if I wanted. I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. So, makes perfect sense. All right, next email is from Michael from San Diego. Legoland offers a lifetime pass for $3,000. How much would you be willing to spend for a Disney World lifetime pass?
$3,000.
What do you think, Scopa? Lifetime pass to Disney World. How much are you paying for it?
Lifetime pass.
Now, an annual pass, to put in perspective, goes for, what, about $600 right now?
Yep.
That's without discounts or anything like that.
Well, That's here's the thing, man. Question. If I was in my 20s,
his lifetime is different.
Yeah. I mean, if I was in my 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s, I might answer that differently, but I would say maybe 2000.
That brings up a good question. Should your lifetime pass be cheaper than let's say, Gabriella's lifetime pass?
I don't know. I think 2000 is, I think they'll charge a regular one fee, but that being said, no way it's 2000. That's only like,
well, no, Lego's charging $3,000, so Disney would charge $10,000.
I'm thinking at least 5 G's, but honestly, I could even, I mean, it's gotta be something that, like, most people would say, no way, I can't do that. It's gotta be, like, only the
super
diehard crazies are like, you know what? That's a good investment of my money. The same, it's either down payment for a new house or a lifetime annual pass.
No, you mean down payment for a new car, not a new house.
I don't know. What do you think, Newell?
I would think it would be upwards to $8,000 to $10,000. They would charge for all four parks. You know, I don't know.
Yep.
To me, it wouldn't be worth it because, you know, some there may be a time where something comes up and I can't go.
I don't think it'll ever be. I don't think it ever just even $5,000, which I think would not be enough. I don't think they would charge for it. You know what? It would be interesting to see because they would have to basically say, okay, well, how many years do we usually get annual pass holders for? And then, you know, you got to kind of like be a little bit beyond that, right? Because it's got to be worth their while.
Right.
And obviously that, and that's the amount they pick. But I mean, I got to think that's got to be like, honestly, I mean, I think 10,000 is like, you know, a good starting point. I really can't imagine it being any cheaper. Wasn't there one? Mike Scopa, wasn't there one like a long, long, long time ago? Did we have this email about this? I thought there was one like way back in the day they offered like some sort of a lifetime pass.
No, the only thing I do remember that's different from now, there used to be a golden pass, I thought, for seniors way back when. But I think that was part of the Magic Kingdom Club when the Magic Kingdom Club was around. But other than that, I don't recall anything else. Nope.
I don't think they'll ever offer it, so don't worry about this. We'll likely never get an answer for this question, but it's certainly interesting to think about because you just got to think it's got to be some outrageous number. I mean, really. I mean, look at how they price everything else around here, right? Am I right?
Yeah, Ned.
All right, next email is from Devon Kelly Scott of Anaheim, California. Devon? Anyway.
Get the tables!
I was just saying that. Thank you for all feeding my Disney fix. I'm planning a trip to the world with my boyfriend for our 5-year anniversary and my 27th birthday this October 4th through 10th. We met as cast members at Disneyland, though we're not cast members anymore. And this will be his first trip to the world, my third. We've booked 6 nights at Port Orleans French Quarter with 5-day park hoppers. I was intending to plan the rest of our trip around our dinner reservations when I ran into a problem. We also want to attend Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party one night, but the dates for this year's parties aren't out yet. We make our ADRs in April, and I'm afraid to make one that lands us far afield from the Magic Kingdom or dining really late the night of the Halloween party. Do you happen to know around when they announce these dates? The predicted schedule on touringplans.com shows Thursday and Friday night parties for that week, so an early dinner that before that Friday night party is my tentative plan. Thanks so much for the time to answer the listener questions. You guys are always great. Thanks for having me. and have me laughing to myself awkwardly in public places. P.S. Mike Scopa, the Mickey Miles podcast always keeps me company training for my first half marathon at Tinkerbell this May, and I hope to meet you and Michelle at a Run Disney event one day.
Awesome. I think that the not-so-scary nights are Sundays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. That's all I can say, and you plan accordingly. It's always it seems that way. It's always like Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Fridays.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find when they were announced for 20. Oh, here we go. 2015 dates released for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Your problem is solved. See, if we wait long enough, we can answer these questions quite well. But actually, they were announced, for those who are listening later on, this was announced February 25th. So not too long ago. We're not that far behind. So they announced it in February 25th. So anyone who's looking for this in future years, remember that the dates come out in around February. So check it out.
Check it out.
Check it out.
Check it out.
But I think in general, even if we didn't know the dates, I would probably say, just don't make any reservation. Actually, they all, it's fine because, I mean, you have to put the money down for the, what's it called? The fee, the deposit, but you can get it back as long as you cancel within 24 hours. So, you know, kind of just be a little flexible. And, you know, there's resort dining is always going to be more open than in-park dining. And it's, and when it comes to the Magic Kingdom, we often recommend actually it's a better option anyway to go to the resorts than to eat in the park. So, it might actually work to your advantage somewhat. All right. The next email is from Tim. Good riddance to Annette. She was always too happy for my early morning runs or drive to work. I kid. Best of luck.
Ooh.
I have two questions for you. First, do you think Disney will maintain the Indiana Jones presence at the studios? It's a big footprint, and it seems that they may have enough to reimagine the stage show to a new ride, not a duplicate of Dinosaur, and have something left for Star Wars. I propose a flume ride through the jungle boat scene from Ark, Whitewater scene, Temple of Doom, and through a submarine pen. Crystal Skull never happened. Anyway, do you think they'll keep Indy alive? And if so, in what form? You know, Len has been telling for a long time, he's been hearing rumors that it will be going. In fact, the whole Echo Lake area is going to be demolished. According to Len, rumors, rumors, rumors. I will tell you that there are many rumors out there. Remember all those rumors about Osborne Lance not going to be here for 2015? Guess what? They're back.
Well, we haven't heard otherwise, so.
Yes. So, you know what? They're rumors. They're not fact. Until it comes otherwise, you can't assume otherwise. But that being said, let's think about it. I think in my heart of hearts that they probably, I think the footprint thing is hard to ignore, and they could definitely be looking to use that space for something else, especially if they want to make this kind of a land. You know, they only have so much area to work with. So I think it probably makes sense that they would get rid of it for that. But
that's a big area, too.
That that stadium handles a large crowd. And one of the things that they also use that stadium for that you guys wouldn't know about is that when they have the Tower of Terror 10K race, after you run the race, you go to the theater where they have the stunt show, and down on the stage, that's where all the bags are. So they use that area for that. Yep. I think that they would never close that particular attraction until another attraction that handles the type of crowds that that thing handles opens somewhere else in the park, because I think that that park is very sensitive to things that are closed and opening. I think it impacts the crowds much more than in any other park because it's so small. So I think it's going to be a timing issue with that if they ever close that.
I know they do the same thing, Mike. You were mentioning the race anecdote. They do the same thing for cheerleading and the dance competitions they have in there. It's a pretty good spot for that kind of thing. Although that being said, they do have the access to the Premier Theater, which actually has a larger capacity and it's indoors.
Inside, yeah.
Yeah. But of course, for like, you know, depending on what the cheerleaders are doing, that might not be feasible. But they have that. They have the Beauty and the Beast Theater. So there are other options for it, for that kind of like special event purposes. But I do agree that it has been widely used, not just as an attraction, but also as kind of a special events area. So good stuff. Also, Tim wants to know, do any of you have the old Kim Possible communicator beep as a text messaging alert? Mike?
No.
Here's the irony. I live nearby, so I made my messaging sound back when Kim Possible was at Epcot to watch people look for their phones, and it's still fun to see people's confused reactions when my phone beeps at Epcot with Kim being a thing of the past. I hear it every now and then in the background of one of your shows, ironically making me check my phone as I play your shows in my car. If so, Touche, my friends. Keep up the good work, and thank you for all the hard work.
Don't know what he's talking about.
Next, we have an email from Luke from Montreal, Canada.
I am your father.
Don't know if you are still doing those, but here are two mashups for rides that occurred to me. It's a Small World Lumberjack Show. Basically, the Lumberjack Show with the dolls from It's a Small World instead of logs, you know, for the kids.
That's great.
I like that. And lastly, Dole Whip Mountain. Not so much a ride, but a serving size of Dole Whip so big you can slide from it.
Wow.
Yeah. These are good, actually. I think these are way more creative than we were able to come up with. So
that was fun.
Yeah, that was a good one. All right, Mike. Time for your last email today. You got three to choose from. One gets read today. The other two go back in the email queue to be answered later. Ready, Mike?
Sir, yes, sir.
Your options are one in a billion mix-up, get a room, the great hotel debate.
Ooh, I love a good debate, so let's go with that. Great hotel debate.
Last email today is from Catherine from Arlington Heights, Illinois. My husband and I are planning an 8-night May 2016 Disney World trip and are looking forward to enjoying Star Wars weekends, the Flower and Garden Festival, and my husband's birthday while we're there. However, we cannot decide on where to stay. We currently have three possibilities in the running. If we stay at Pop Century, we'll save a ton of money and have extra money for things like fancy dinners, souvenirs, and other splurges. However, we won't have the convenience of a sit-down restaurant or transportation besides buses. If we rent DVC points, say at Animal Kingdom Lodge, we will only pay about $250 more for the whole trip, and we get to enjoy the amazing restaurants and ambiance. This is also where we spent our honeymoon. But again, we have to rely solely on the buses. If we rent points and say at Boardwalk, we'll pay about $700 more than Pop Century for the trip, and we'll get to enjoy the great restaurants and easy access to Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and the monorail. Location of this hotel is really appealing. If you were us, what would you do? We get to go to Disney about once every 2 to 3 years, so not super often. And I want to make this trip special for my husband's birthday. We never rented DVC points before. Thanks for your help.
Save the $700. Go to Animal Kingdom and rent the car.
I was going to say, yeah. Well, actually, renting a car would be a good option because I would not recommend staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Their bus service is notoriously bad.
Right.
Same as Saratoga.
For the next level up, $750, you can rent a nice car for $750.
Yeah.
Or way less.
I would actually go with Pop Century. Well, actually, I wouldn't. But in your case, I would recommend. I don't say I can't stand the Valley Resorts anymore for the noise.
Snob.
Sorry, I know. But I would say actually the good thing about Pop Century is their bus service is actually pretty darn good.
It's because of the size of the crowds. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty consistent. And for the money saved, that I would rather be spending that money. You know, like Catherine mentioned in the email. You know, at the sit down restaurants and souvenirs and just splurging, like it's better to save that money than for a place that, you know, you're essentially – it's that old not anecdote, but that old saying, you know, you're only there for sleeping and showering. You know, if it's just you, it's not like you're cramming you and your kids or anything like that. Just you and your husband, why not? You know, save the money for the parks, and that way you can enjoy the nice things. And you're not coming back to a huge – well, you might be coming back to a huge bill, but at least the initial bill wasn't that big. And I think that might be a better way going about it. But actually – I think, Newell, your suggestion was if they're willing to drive, that's like the best compromise, I think. Scopa, do you agree?
Well, you know, I was thinking if they've never been at a Epcot resort like Boardwalk, you know, it may be something that works for them. They would not have to rent that car. And they have – I mean, they're pretty centrally located. But if they were going to rent a car, I think I'd opt for Mike's suggestion or even stay at some place like Riverside or Port Orleans French Quarter and rent a car. Depends upon what's important to them. It's also important for them to realize where they would spend most of their time, restaurants, parks, things like that. I think there's a whole bunch of checklist items that they have to go through to make that decision. $700 is a lot of money, but the thing is, if you were going to spend some of that on a car, then maybe it's not $700. And also, you got to think about time. If you go down to Walt Disney World once every 2 or 3 years, time becomes a very valuable commodity. So sometimes you have to pay for that convenience.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to wrap things up for us today. Don't forget, you can also email your questions. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us questions at WDWtoday.com. You can send us your emails. Don't forget, name and time where you're from so we can give you credit for it. Otherwise, I make it up. And, you know, whatever's on your mind, thoughts, questions, anything – conundrums. Email at questions at WGWJ.com. Also, don't forget that we're being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And I'll tell you, you're going to Disney World, you want to book with MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. It's just as simple as that. They are Disney World experts that can help you plan a wonderful trip down there, not only in terms of, you know, kind of planning and make sure you have the right accommodations for yourself, but also make sure you get the best possible price. So really got to check them out, mousefantravel.com. We're also being sponsored by All Star Vacation Homes. And for this, I'm just going to simply read a tweet, if that's all right. It's a tweet from one Fred Hazelton.
What?
The master statistician.
I know him.
For touringplans.com. Yeah, this guy's got street cred.
That's right.
Yeah. You know you got street cred when your Twitter name is Disney Stats Whiz.
Whiz.
Actually, it used to be, he has to like ZZ Freddy Z. Remember? That was his old Twitter name. He changed it recently.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was like ZZ Fast Freddy, something like that.
Wow.
Come on, Fred. He's going to tweet it. Matt was right. Anyway, hashtag Matt was right is always trending. back to All Star Vacation Homes. Fred tweeted, quote, I don't know anyone who stays at a hotel in Orlando. I don't know why anyone stays at a hotel in Orlando. Unofficial cook, who's his, you know, and I rented a home for a week for less than the cost of hashtag Scopa Towers.
Wow.
Yeah. So you say an All Star Vacation Home, that's the kind of price you're getting. You know what? They're also not being squeezed into this little small room. So maybe Catherine should consider an All Star Vacation Home for their stay, because that way they're going to get a lot of space, not pay a lot for it. And that way they can spend more money on all those things, you know, she wants to do, like, you know, food, drink, gifts, whatever it is that you like to spend your money on in the parks. It's more money in your pocket. And that's really what it's all about here when you're saying All Star Vacation. Really, check them out right now. AllStarVacationHomes.com. And I did mention one Fred Hazelton. I'll mention him again because Fred is the evil mastermind behind Len's even more evil TouringPlans.com. But, you know, they're so evil that they knock each other out and they're good. It's amazing. I don't know how that works. But TouringPlans.com is your resource for getting around those long lines. I mean, really, if waiting in long lines is wrong, well, then I don't want to be right. I think that made sense. I don't know if I screwed that up. But TouringPlans.com really, honestly, truly is the way to get around those long lines at Disney World. I mean, they are just – it's crazy how long those – even no matter when you go, it's not just about Christmas and July 4th. I mean, you go any time of the year and you're going to find like, wow, those are some long lines right now in the parks. You can avoid them, all of them. TouringPlans.com is the solution. Check them out right now, TouringPlans.com. For Len Testa, Mike Silva, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.